All right, welcome back to another edition of Pillow Talk Devotionals with Mac and Paige. And hey, if you're worried that we're just doing this all at once because we're wearing the same shirts, we wear the same shirts to bed all the time. Well, I do.
He does. I change mine up once in a while, more often, because I don't really have pajamas. Maybe I'll get pajamas just for this.
Well, we could.
Get matching pajamas?
We should. I was talking about that merch.
Super cheesy.
The top of our shirt says Pillow Talk Devotionals with Mac and Paige, just in case we forget. They can identify the
buttons. I don't forget. He forgets.
Yeah. I do wash this shirt, or I do throw it in the laundry.
Yeah, once in a while.
It magically appears on the bed clean. Because I don't do the laundry.
Laundry fairy.
I could do laundry. Just to be fair, my wife loves laundry. So.
Yeah, I kind of
do dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's actually a really good roommate. He cleans up after himself. He has his own bathroom, though, so that's important.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Bathroom floors?
Yeah, the bathroom floors. I did wash them today, and they were quite clean.
What is it? What's the date?
let's hope this scripture passage has something to do with purity, and that would dovetail in.
Yeah. Okay, right. Let's carry on.
We are in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's go. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. Talk about Paul not fearing man. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. Let's get back to that. God does not show favoritism. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and that they to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. So, well, there's much meat to that section, but I do think we should talk about God does not show favoritism.
Whew, that is so true.
Now, in this context, and that context is important when you're reading the Bible, he's talking about the esteemed apostles. So he's not talking about racist favoritism. He's talking about Christianity. And making a difference doesn't have to be and is not reserved for the elite. There's no spiritual elite.
No, because look at, like we talked about the last or two sessions of this ago, how he loves the broken. There's just no better than. There's no such thing.
And it goes with actually, I was reading in my devotions earlier today about Jesus' disciples were telling people, parents, not to send their kids to Jesus to bless him. It's like, don't bother. Like, they were esteeming Jesus beyond what Jesus esteemed Jesus in terms of, they were saying, well, don't bug like Tiger Woods with sweeping up the greens. You know, he's the Messiah. Don't bug him with little children. He's here to do the important things. And Jesus is like, guys,
no, I want their little children.
And in fact, he used it as a great lesson. Like, unless you become like one of these children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, and it just, like, through this whole section, it kind of speaks to, like, authenticity is what's important, not reputation. Like, reputation is insignificant. Really, but being authentic in your identity as a child of God, and actually authentic in all areas.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because when I think of that, I always think of childlike faith, and that's really important too. And we could talk about that, but the point you raise is really interesting.
That just kind of,
children aren't just a representative of innocent, pure faith, but they're
real.
Representative of real. Yeah, they're being just honest. Like,
totally.
You ask a kid anything and they're
going to tell you. Careful what you ask, wish for. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, no filters. And also, So I'm a nurse too, and I've seen a lot of death. People at the end of their lives lose their filters a bit too, and they become often become a bit more childlike. And so, but it's real, and yeah, there's something about that realness that is really,
you know, that's funny, refreshing. Jesus never said, well, he did, unless you become like one of these children. He didn't really specify their faith. But I always thought it was talking about faith, but he was probably talking about way more than faith. You know, the innocence, the purity. It's not that kids aren't sinful or selfish or whatever, but...
Yeah, but there's also an influence in...
There's a purity to them.
Yeah, there is. We don't come out of the womb like...
There's no guile.
Yeah.
I don't know what guile means, but there's none in kids. I know the word beguiled.
Beguiled.
Guile is like pretense. It's like putting on airs, right?
I think so. I think it's placing reputation above authenticity. But I could be wrong. I could look up the word.
You're going to go with that. That was a really good quote.
Yeah, I know. I liked that.
Say it again.
No.
There's no what? It's not about
reputation. It's not about reputation.
It's about authenticity.
But then that's like fear of man versus like... God is drawn to, or not drawn to, but he wants us to be authentic and real.
Well, Jesus turned everything upside down. Like, everything that humans and society esteemed, he went the opposite way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, yeah. Like,
strong, be strong. Love your friends but hate your enemies. Well, he's like, no, you love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was weak to them.
Mm-hmm.
So then here he goes about the kids. It's like, no favoritism. What do you mean no favoritism?
Mm-hmm.
That really goes with the... Who was it? The two... Was it James and John that asked for him to have him...
James and John, on the right and left? Yeah.
Even to the end, I was reading, it was near the end of his ministry, and they're still asking the question, who's the greatest in the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was in connection and conjunction with him, with the kids. Right after he said, don't prevent them.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, then they ask, who's the greatest? You're kidding me. You're thinking about who's the greatest?
Did you mean to do that?
Don't be childish.
Oh.
yes, I meant that.
I don't think you did. So he's like Mr. Pun and... I think you did a pun. You do it subconsciously.
Yes. That's in my sleep, even.
But I'm like always on high alert because I'm like, we'll be walking.
I've created.
You guys probably don't really care about this, but we'll be walking like in the mall or somewhere and he'll see a sign, throw a pun out about it, but he'll like nod to the...
Well, on our water bottle, it says they're Yeti. And I said,
Are you ready to go now or not? And then you
That's the thing. Anyways, so back to the kids. What was I saying about the kids? Oh, there's a purity, and they're arguing about who's the greatest, and here Paul's saying, yeah, there's no greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And why would God show favoritism to anyone? We think that if you're praying more or you're reading scripture more or you're witnessing more, then you get more, right? You can hear the Holy Spirit more, you have more. But, if there's a big one, if you're tithing more.
Tithing more,
yeah. Yeah, you got to be faithful so that God will give you back.
Mm-hmm.
I always love questioning people on tithing. Not that I don't believe in it, but it's like it's a subtle legalism. Well, there's a blessing in tithing. Really? Is there?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that when God blesses you, it's because you tithe?
Yeah. And so that's not that the reason we tithe.
You earned it? You deserve the blessing because you tithe?
Mm-hmm. Or giving of ourselves or helping somebody.
Yeah.
We don't do it for accolades. You do it in the quiet ways that...
But here's the problem I have. Let's go the opposite way. So we could say, there's no favoritism. So there's no point in doing extra stuff. Like there's no point in being zealous for prayer or Bible reading or witnessing.
Because we want to be more like Jesus.
Because God treats everybody the same.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not the reason.
I think there's a mentality because I know I had it for years is, well, you can't earn God's grace. You can't earn God's favor. So why bother trying? And it's one of my favorite sayings. Yet, you know, you can't earn God's favor, but you can get in line for handouts. You can get in line for blessings. And he's given out all kinds of stuff. Wisdom and gifts and insight and
fruit of the Spirit. Fruits.
He's given all kinds of things. Presence. You draw near to me, I'll draw near to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's given so many things. Why wouldn't you? No, you can't earn it, but you can get in line. Keep getting in line every day. Get in line. What does that look like? Well, it's showing up. It's your body is a living sacrifice. Put yourself in the presence of God.
Yeah.
With your mind, your body, your soul, your heart. That's one of the ways you get in line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm here, Lord. I'm here prioritizing you. I'm here giving you all of my attention and all of my affection. The world has none of it. You have all of it. And I want more from you.
Mm-hmm.
And or I want to be able to steward well what you've given me. Teach me. You know, purify me. Like the psalmist said, take anything away from me that's offensive, that gets in the way of me understanding and knowing you better, mm-hmm. hearing you more, and saying what you say, doing what you want, glorifying you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to turn grace into a license to sin, but we also don't want to turn grace into a reason to become spiritually apathetic,
mm-hmm.
lazy, or worldly. Right? There's so much more to the Christian life in our own individual lives and in the church that we're not experiencing. Jesus said, you'll do even greater things than what I've done. You can't do greater if you're not doing as much.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not doing as much. Right? So I think there's just been, in my life, I've known, I grew really complacent, apathetic. And because of turning grace into a license just to kind of take it easy. Well, God's done everything. I can't do anything. Well, no, you can't work for stuff, but you can respond to God.
Mm-hmm.
Getting in line.
Excellent.
I did a lot of talking again.
Yeah, that's okay.
You're probably not going to shut me up. I am a former preacher, so.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what this podcast is, and that's okay.
No.
Okay,
we should clarify, though, that in our marriage, I don't do all the talking.
With this kind of stuff.
You back me up here, hon. You do more talking.
I think.
In real life.
I don't know.
Do you think?
No.
Okay, no. So I'm a gab. So I was. What you're saying is I was destined for a podcast.
You were.
I'm not sure. I've never done this on my own.
Well, no, you wouldn't be in bed on your own. That'd be creepy.
Talking to myself. I was in bed alone a lot in my life.
I mean doing a podcast. That'd be weird.
No, that would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, but this isn't weird.
No, this isn't weird.
We're talking to each other in front of a microphone and camera in bed. Yeah, that's not weird.
All right,
love you guys. This has been Pillow Talk Devotionals with Mac and Paige. We will talk to you next time.
See ya.